all of us.
I'm Sunny. He's Sharon.
Yeah. We're happy to be here today. If you weren't here in Sunday school, we're from Columbus, Ohio, just outside of Columbus. And that's our ministry table in the back. No more prodigals. Stop by. And if something on there would be a blessing to you, pay for it and then take it. All right. When I finally make it to heavenly ground, my friends and loved ones will show me around.
When they ask what I like to see first, I'll say, to show me the blood Jesus shed right away. Oh, there's something about it, that great crimson tide that flowed like a river when they pierced his side. No sign of decay in that great healing flood. There's just something about it, my dear Savior's blood.
I like to walk on streets made of gold, to shake hands with Moses and preachers of old.
But there's only one sight that makes all that worthwhile, the blood Jesus shed just to make me his child. Oh, there's something about it, that great crimson tide that flow like a river when they pierce his side. No sign of decay in that great healing flood. There's just something about it, my dear Savior's blood. There's just something about it, my dear Savior's blood.
All right, Josh, get on up here. We're going to make you guys listen to Josh all the time, I know. But he's a friend of mine, so I'll let him sing with me one song. And he's going to sing one with us, then I'll sing one for you by myself, and then the preacher will come. I met Josh in 2014, and he's been a good friend ever since, the right kind of friend. We don't stay in touch as much as...
Can you see?
As much as... I know the words if you want to stand in the middle.
You stand in the middle?
I am. We don't stay in touch as much as we could. But when you have a good friend, even when you don't talk all the time, when you are together, it's like you just pick up right where you left off. And Josh and McKenna, it's nice. Friday was the first time we met her. But they're an encouragement to us, and we're just so happy to be here. And so when he found out that we were coming, when we worked it all out, then basically we told him he's singing a song with us whether he wants to or not. So this is the one we picked for you. Think back to the time when Jesus saved your soul. Remember the joy as you gave him full control. But if time has removed the peace you knew then, he's calling you back to the place you began. Child, child, oh, why do you wander out in the darkness, away from the fold? Child, child, there's comfort in closeness, so walk just as close as you can.
Well, I know I'm redeemed, 'cause I've been to Calvary. Though sometimes I falter and I fail his will to see, but forgiveness is all mine in him. I'll rejoice, 'cause I'm one of his sheep, and his sheep know his voice.
Child, child, oh, why do you wander out in the darkness, away from the fold? there's comfort in closeness, so walk just as close as you can. Child, child, oh, why do you wander out in the darkness, away from the fold? Child, child, there's comfort in closeness, so walk just as close as you can. So walk just as close as you can.
All right, I'll sing one more for you, and then we'll let the preacher come on up here. I can clearly see Paul, a man who gave God his all, as he sits in his cell, awaiting to die. But to anyone who would listen, I can hear him cry that there ain't nothing better than Jesus. He's all I need for this road below. No, there ain't nothing better than Jesus. His love for me, it just seems to grow. When I'm down, when I'm out, when I just don't think I'll make it, no, there ain't nothing better than him. Now, I haven't seen much of this world. No diamonds, no rubies, no pearls. Oh, but I've seen what Paul saw, and I feel the same. So I'll sing it and I'll shout it. Oh, Lord, I'll proclaim. Someday I'll be in glory with Jesus and the others before me. And as I walk down the street of gold and hear the praises ring, maybe Paul will join me, and together we will sing. Sing that there ain't nothing better than Jesus. He's all I need for this road below. No, there ain't nothing better than Jesus. His love for me, it just seems to grow. When I'm down, when I'm out, when I just don't think I'll make it, no, there ain't nothing better than him. When I'm down, when I'm out, when I just don't think I'll make it, no, there ain't nothing better than him.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you for that singing. Praise the Lord. Notice he didn't ask me to sing with him, and that was a smart thing. Praise the Lord. Oh, my. It's been a joy to hear him sing and get to know him. I met him actually at the same youth conference that he met Josh at. And I met Josh at a youth conference too, so don't go to youth conferences. You meet weird people, okay? Just kidding. We've had a good time, And it's been a joy to have the Fowlers here. Listen, get back there and get one of their prayer cards. Pray for them. Pray that God will allow him to use the things in his life to help other people. And I know that'll be a tremendous blessing. We're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter number 5. 2 Samuel chapter number 5. A year or so ago, I was preaching through a series on the life of David. And I was reading back through some of these verses and different things, and I just, I needed some encouragement from the Lord this week. And he always seems to know what you need, when you need it. That's the good thing about God, is he knows everything. He knows what we need, when we need it, and all that. And I began going back through some of my notes that I had preached in that series and all, and I just, my heart kept coming to this area, and I'm going to speak to you on this same subject again. In 2 Samuel, chapter number 5, I'm not going to go through all of the passage for sake of time, but I would invite you to stand with me as we read the Word of God. As we're going down through this first part, David is being made king, and he's king over Israel. And then we get down to verse number 13, and we know everything's in the Bible on purpose, isn't it? God placed it there for our betterment, to know, for us to know something that he has for us. And names mean things in the Bible. I don't know if you've ever done word studies or things like that, but names mean things in the Bible. We know the life of David. I'm not going to tell you about that right now. I will as we get into the message a little bit. But I'm going to focus in on some of these names. And it says in verse number 13, "And David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron. And there were yet sons and daughters born to David. And these be the names of those that were born unto him in Jerusalem: Shemua and Shobab and Nathan and Solomon, Ibhar and Elishu and Nepheg and Japhiah." And then it says in verse 16, "And Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphalet." And I thought about that. I thought, man, what a weird name. I'm glad my name wasn't Eliphalet, you know, or Elishama or Eliada. But names have a meaning. You know, my name Daniel means God is my judge, and that's my name, and God is my judge, and I praise the Lord for that. But as I was going down through here, I thought about what would it be like, man, to be a child of the king? You think about that. I mean, these people were King David's children, and then I got to thinking, wait a second, I am a child of the king. Because I'm saved, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he is my Heavenly Father. And there's some things that these names mean in verse number 16 that I'm going to share with you. And they pattern the life of David so much because David needed these things. And as we look at the names of in verse 16, it says, "And Elishama and Eliada and Eliphalet." They all have a specific meaning, and I'm going to talk to you about those meanings this morning. But I entitled the message, "The Children of the King." The children of the king. And we can relate our lives to the same thing. And I believe God placed them here for us to learn something. And they were named this for specific reasons. And I know it's because David had some trials in his life and some things in his life. And he just needed God to be there for him. And he was. And so we're going to preach that message this morning. The child of the king, or the children of the king. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the day that you've given to us. Thank you for the opportunity of being in your house. Thank you already for the blessing that we had during Sunday school. Lord, thank you for the music that was sung this morning, how it honors and glorifies you and lifts you up. God, I pray that you'll help us never to forget that we have a battle that we're fighting, but Lord, that we can't do it in our own strength. We need you. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you for the opportunity of having the Bible and the Word of God that we can study. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you for all your many blessings. I ask you, Lord, if there's anyone here today that does not know you, that is not a child of the King, that they'll trust you today. God, I pray for those that are just straddling that fence, trying to decide which direction to go. Lord, I pray you'll reveal yourself to them like you did to Brother Fowler and show him how real you really are. And God, that they'll draw closer to you. Lord, we sure love you and thank you for the day that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. In 2 Samuel chapter number 5, we read down through here and it starts naming a list of names. You know, you ever been reading through the book of Chronicles where it gives a lot of the lineages and you read this person begat this person begat this person begat this person, and then 25 minutes later you're still reading this person begat this person begat this person begat this person, and you think, what in the world is all of this stuff in the Bible for? we begin to look at that and think, why is it important for us to know all of these names and all of these people? And let me encourage you, go back through and begin to study people's names and where they were and the time frame. It all ties things together as you study the Bible. You know, the Bible does say, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The way that you divide the Bible and understand the Bible is you study it. You don't just read some words on a page. You actually study the Bible and begin to look into it and look deeper than just those words on the page and actually see the God of the Bible. And as we're going down through this, I begin to read through this passage again. And later on, we know the Philistines were the devout enemies of Israel. And they began to want to fight against Israel again. And my mind was going back to the battle that we face here today. You know, the Philistines are an example of the world that we're fighting against, and Israel is an example of God's people and the church, and there's that constant battle. You know why? Because one is of Satan and one is of God. And Satan and God butt heads. You know why? Because Satan wanted to try to be God or higher than God, and God said, no, can't have that. Now Satan's trying to do everything he can to hurt God. And as we go down through this passage and I was looking at these names, I began to study out some of these names. And these three names just kind of jumped off the pages at me, and I began to study them and look at them. Man, my heart was encouraged when I saw this. And I began to, my mind was going back to the battles that our country is facing today. You know, we're in a big battle in our nation over right and wrong. We're in a battle in our nation over godliness and ungodliness. We're in a battle today where we have a Supreme Court who thinks they can make law instead of interpret law, and they try to say that homosexuality is all right, and they try to say that, this transgender movement that's going on and all of these things that are out there. Listen, we ought to stand up for righteousness. We ought to stand up for right. We ought to call sin, sin, and things like that. But I praise the Lord for Brother Fowler and what he was saying, how we shouldn't just attack people with the gospel, but we should love them back to Christ. And I begin to look at these things and think about our nation. And, you know, it saddens me when the Boy Scouts now have transgenders that they allow in there to be their scout leaders and different things like that, that they're passing laws because they're trying to be politically correct. And, I start to get discouraged about it, but then I begin to think, you know what, there's always been a battle between the rulers of the darkness of this world and against God. And we're going to be in a battle. Until Jesus Christ comes back, guess what? We're going to be fighting this battle. And he says in the book of Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in that evil day and having done all to stand. There may come a time that our freedoms are stripped away from us and we're not able to openly preach the word of God or openly tell people about the things of God. And you know why that might take place even in our lifetime is because we're in a battle. We're fighting. I think about the Philistines and the Israelites and how they were constantly in battle. And the Philistines at one time tried to disguise things and went to King Saul and tried to say, hey, King Saul, we want to be your friends. And they were disguising things, but then they were really trying to set them up and attack them. I think that's what Satan does to us. You know, Satan doesn't say, hey, this is a trap and you need to step in it. Satan says, no. Hey, look, this isn't bad. Remember with Eve, he didn't totally remove everything that God had to say from her. He said, no, hath God said that, you know, and he tried to say, you know, God knows that if you will take of this fruit, if you'll eat of this, that you'll be as God. He was trying to appeal to something that she wanted to do. She wanted to be like God. But what Satan really knew is that it was going to separate her from God. And so he was trying to do this. And I began to think about David's life and how David obeyed his father. And he came back to his brothers at battle and he was just watching the sheep. And he was doing what his dad did. And he came down to battle and he saw Goliath standing there defying the army of God. And he said, is there not a cause? And his brothers began to rebuke him and tried to tell him, you know, I know you're just down here trying to start a fight or trying to make yourself haughty and things like that. And really what they were saying is, I'm embarrassed to fight and here you are and I'm getting shown up by my little brother. And they were embarrassed by that. And then we know that once he defeated Goliath with the power of God, that Saul said, hey, wait, this is somebody, and tried to exalt him. Then he began to sing for Saul, and Saul had a bad temper and began to not like David because people began to lift David up higher than they did King Saul. And he began to throw a javelin at David and tried to kill him and then tried to hunt him down. And David had to live in caves and all this stuff. Man, people think, well, if that's what it means to serve God, then I don't want any part of that. But through it all, David had many opportunities that he could have killed King Saul, but he understood that that was God's anointed and he was trying to do what was right by God. And we know David made many mistakes. But here in this passage, he comes and he begins to name these kids, and they all have a specific meaning behind them. As a child of the king, I could imagine that these kids had all that they ever could want. They probably had all the wealth that they could probably have, because we know David was a wealthy king. They know that they probably didn't have a care in the world as far as their physical life was, because their dad was the king. But as he came down through here in verse 16, he names Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphalet. And I thought, what in the world do these verses mean, and how do they apply to my life, God? As I began to look them up, the first one, Elishama, I looked it up and it said, God hears. God hears. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you've thought God just did not hear you? You ever been to the place in your life where you begin to cry out to God and you just thought, where is God? You ever been there? I have. You ever been to the place where you just called out to God for a lost loved one, or you've called out to God for something that was going on in your life, or you called out to God about it and it just seemed like God wasn't there and God wasn't listening? David had been many times that he had called out to God, and many times that he had cried out to God. And as he wrote through the book of Psalms under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God upon his life, he wrote some verses in there that I want to share with you that I believe explained to him that what he knew about God. And if you look at Psalm chapter number 4, let's flip over there quickly. We're going to use our Bibles this morning. This was an encouragement to me. I like reading the Bible. I like reading these verses. And there's nothing like the Word of God. Because anybody can stand up here and talk for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and you get nothing out of it. But you can't read Scripture that long and not get something out of the Bible if you're really looking at it properly. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And as I went down through this, I began to think, well, what does this mean? You know, he said, God hears. And David writes in Psalm chapter 4 and verse number 1, look what he said, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayers. He's asking him, will you hear me, God? Now look at Psalm chapter 20. Psalm chapter number 20. He said, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defendeth, or defended thee. Flip over to Psalm 61. I want you to see these verses because this encouraged me. When I'm praying and I think God just isn't hearing me. Psalm 61. And verse number 5. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Look at Psalm 66, verse number 19. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Look at the book of Daniel. We know Daniel went through a lot as well. Cast into that lion's den. Daniel chapter 9, verse 19, he says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Look at Daniel chapter 12, or chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. Listen, there's times when we think that God doesn't hear us, but friend, let me assure you, David had wrote in this passage, he listed these names, and God wanted him to list these names for us to understand something. God hears you. God hears you. There's people that, Brother Fowler, that have told me, there's no way I can be saved. God just, he doesn't even know me. God could never hear me. Let me assure you, friend, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say if you call upon him living in the right direction. He didn't say if you call upon him when you're giving enough money in the offering plate. He didn't say if you call upon him while life is up on the mountaintop, then will I hear you. No, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're in this room today and you're not saved, let me tell you, all you got to do is come to the realization that you're a sinner. Realize that your sin had a penalty that you could not pay. Realize that Jesus Christ loved you, that God loved you so much that Jesus became your payment. He took your death upon himself. He died, was buried, and rose again, conquering that death so that he could give eternal life instead of eternal death. He said, and if you'll call upon him, believing in him, you shall be saved. I'm glad that he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's times when I'm feeling alone. There's times when I'm feeling downhearted and discouraged. And there's times that I don't know if anybody else understands. And I call out to God and I say, God, where are you? God, do you hear me? And I read this verse and, you know, I came through this and I began to study it. And it said, God hears. God hears. Let me ask you this. What are you crying out to God for? What are you asking God for today? You say, God, do you hear me? Friend, let me assure you, he does. He hears you. He hears you in the good times. He hears you in the bad times. He heard Brother Fowler in that kitchen area when he said, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. He heard me that day when I had to come to myself and realize that it wasn't just words that I said to God. There had to be that conviction in my heart about the salvation that I needed and the Holy Spirit drawing me into himself. And I had to come to the place where I just cried out to him and said, God, I can't just trust in words that I have said. It's in what you have done on the cross for me and your death and your burial and resurrection and asking Jesus to save me. And since that day, there's been no doubt in my mind that I'm saved. You know why? Because I called out and he heard me. There's been times that I've prayed for friends or loved ones and didn't know if God heard. But God assured me he was there listening all the time. You know why sometimes our prayers don't get answered? Sometimes maybe it is because we're living in sin and we're quenching the Holy Spirit of God. But sometimes we just quit praying because we just thought God didn't hear us. But friend, let me tell you, God hears. God hears. When David was in that cave hiding for his life, calling out to God, God heard him. God heard him. When you're in those valley experiences, the problem is most of us don't look at a valley as an opportunity to climb another mountain later on in life and grow. We look at it as a rut that we have to stay in for the rest of our life. The Christian life is not always smooth sailing. The Christian life isn't always about the candy canes and roses. Because guess what? On every rose, there's thorns. There's things that prick you at times. Oh, they look beautiful, but stand in the middle of a rose bush and watch what happens. You're going to get cut up. But God hears when you pray. Don't quit praying. Don't quit talking to him. Listen, our nation needs some people that'll pray. Even when you don't think God's listening, even when it looks like everything is crumbling around you, God hears. Elishama, I thought, man, why did David list these here? Why did God tell him, I want you to write the name of this child in the Bible? Because David was a testimony to this very thing, is that God hears when you call. Then I began to think, well, there's one of them, Elishama. Turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 5. And my parents are here today, and I thank them publicly for not naming me any of these things, even though I do know what they mean, and I would love to have these meanings to my name. But I'm glad that we have simple names, like Jim and John and those kind of things, right? But as these kids walked around, you think, I wonder if they ever asked their dad, Dad, why'd you name me Elishama? He said, because God heard me. Because in my low times, in the times I was being hunted by King Saul, in the times where I had to run around and hide in a cave and live, listen, I was anointed to be king over the nation, and here I had to live like an animal in caves. But God heard me. And now I'm the king of the nation, and you're my child, and I want you to remember that God hears. I want you to think about Jesus coming to this earth, making himself the form of a servant. And on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God wants you to know the reason Jesus came to die is so that you could hear. And when you call out to him, to let you know that he's there to hear. He's there to hear. And then he said, Eliada, and I thought, what's that mean? And I began to look it up, and not only did David write here and name one of his children, God hears. The next one that he said is God knows. God knows. There's a song that I heard our young people sing when I was a youth pastor and heard them sing. Said, he knows my name. And you know what? I like that song because I began to think about who I am. And I'm nothing without God. I'm doomed and destined for hellfire. But God knew me. God knows who I am. And friend, he knows who you are. Not only does he hear, but he knows everything about you. I thought, well, let me do some more study. And I began to look at some more verses that David had wrote. And Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40. In verse number 9, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. Thou knowest. Thou knowest. Look at Psalm 69. Verse number 5. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. You know, I think the saddest part about our lives is we think God only knows the good things that we do. But God knows the bad things too. God knows them all. He knows the good, he knows the bad. And despite all of it, he loves us anyway. He hears, and he knows. You think back to the life of David, when David, he was known as a man after God's own heart, one that feared God, one that eschewed evil, fought against a giant, defeated the giant with the power of God. Man was a champion in battle. God was using him in a mighty way. He becomes king, and there was a time when kings were supposed to go to battle. But David didn't go. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he saw a woman bathing, and he looked at her, and he lusted upon her, and he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And we know what happened, how then he calls Uriah, her husband, back off the battlefield, and he tries to get him drunk and try to cover up his sin. And Uriah wouldn't do that, and so he sends him with his death sentence onto the battlefield, and Uriah is killed. Most of us at that point in time would wash our hands with David. Most of us would say, you know what? We don't want anything to do with him. Look how wicked David is. And here comes the prophet Nathan and talks to David about the sin that had just taken place. And when David realizes that his sin was not hidden from God and God knew what was going on, David would have been like most of us were. We would have just ran away from God. Got mad at God. Brother Fowler gave testimony here. His sin found him out, and instead of running to God, he ran away from God. David didn't do that. David did opposite of that, and David said this. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. And when he admitted who he was, and he was willing to confess his sin before God, God forgave him and used him. Was that? Did that mean there was no consequences? No. Did David still have a life of a heartache? Yes, he did. But God forgave him and was still able to use him. Why? Because God knew. And David realized God already knew. And he was willing to come to God and let God help him with that. Look at Psalm 139, if you would, please. Look at verse 1 through verse number 4. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. David's naming these children, and he said, God hears. Elishama. God knows. Eliada. And all throughout Scripture, as we read, we hear how God knew exactly where people were and exactly what they needed when they needed it. And He was always right on time. I didn't say He was on your time, but God's always on time because He always knows what's going on. Look at Jeremiah chapter 15. This wasn't just in David's life. This is in many people's lives that God hears. Jeremiah 15 and verse number 15. O Lord, Thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in Thy long suffering. Know that for Thy sake I have suffered rebuke. He said there, O Lord, Thou knowest. O Lord, Thou knowest. Look at Jeremiah chapter 18. Verse 23, Yet, Lord, Thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquities, neither blot out their sin from Thy sight, but let them be overthrown before Thee. Deal thus with them in Thy time of Thine anger. Listen, these people were calling out to God, and understand something, they acknowledged something. God, You already know what's going on. You already know my problem. God, will You help me with it? When they called out and they knew that God knew it, they were expecting God to hear it. God hears and God knows. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter number 16. Look at verse 29. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speaketh no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Listen, God knows. God knows. John 21. John 21. Verse number 15. So when they had denied, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto them, Feed my lambs. Then he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. You may wonder why God asked Peter these questions. Why God saying this? Did God not know if Peter really loved him or not? Yes, God knew. But God was saying, listen, don't tell me that you love me. Show me that you love me. Don't just say, God, I love you, and then go about your life. If you genuinely love me, you're going to prove it that you love me. You know, when I married my wife, I told her that I loved her. And since that time, I've told her a lot of times that I've loved her. But those words would be empty if I didn't show her that I loved her. And when he was asking Peter, if you look at the life of Peter, Peter a lot of times thought after he did things. But when he said, Lord, you know I love you, he understood that God knows all. And he said, God, you know I love you. And God said, don't just tell me that you love me. Show me that you love me. Listen, God does know, friend, whether you love him or not. And God may be asking you that question today. Do you love me, child of God? He's not asking that because he doesn't know. He knows whether you love him or whether you don't. But maybe he's just trying to challenge you to prove it. Listen, it took some people that loved God and loved them the way that God would love them to bring them back to God. It's not people who say they love God who try to use the Bible as a sword to cut people's legs off or to cut people's head off. It was them knowing that God loved them and knowing that God loved them, and they went to them with the love of God upon their life. Listen, you know what they were doing? They were feeding his sheep. They were feeding people. Why? To bring them to the love of God. Everything we do, friend, understand this is not about you and I.
Yes, amen.
It's about him.
Amen.
It's about him and his glory. And David, when he named these children, I believe in his mind that he was thinking, Brother Shane, about what God had done in his life. And he thought, what could I name this child to represent what God has done for me? And he said, I'm going to name you Elishama because God heard me. I'm going to name you Eliada because God knew exactly where I was and he knew exactly what I was going through and he was there for me every step of the way. And then he came to the last one. And he named him Eliphalet. And I thought, what in the world does that one mean? And he said, not only does God hear, not only does God know, but friend, God delivers. God delivers.
Amen.
It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. God delivers.
Yes, sir.
If you'll come unto him and ask him to save you, he said, he that cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast him out. You know why God is that? Because he hears you and he knows where you are and he's ready to deliver you at any moment.
Yes.
You just have to come to him. You just have to come to him. People that don't get delivered are people that don't come to him. People that don't get delivered aren't people that God has not chosen them. Because God loves everybody. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants every person that's ever been born on the face of this earth to experience heaven, to experience a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he said, listen, I'll deliver you from your sin and set your feet upon a solid rock and establish your goings and I'll make you old things pass away and all things become new. But just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're sinless. It means you ought to sin less, but you're not sinless. And you may say, well, there's just this besetting sin in my life that just got me bound. You know, I think David in his life, when he was going through a lot of trials, he thought, you know what, God, I just need you to deliver me. Just deliver me. When this child was born, I believe he named him this because God had delivered him many times. He delivered him from the hand of Saul. Delivered him from Goliath. Daniel was delivered from the lion's mouth. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were delivered from perishing in the fiery furnace. All throughout Scripture, we read about how God had delivered people. But David learned all the way back with Goliath and all of the times that he was delivered from Saul and all the times that God had spared his life, that God wasn't only somebody that hears him and knows what's going on, but God was interested in delivering him from those trials. Because God delights in mercy.
Amen.
And God delights in delivering his people. Look at Psalm chapter 7. If you don't believe me, look what the Bible has to say about it. Psalm chapter number 7. He's pleading for protection. He says, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Look at Psalm chapter 18. We're going to flip to quite a few passages here just to kind of set this in stone. Psalm 18. Look at verse number 17. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. I think of an enemy that's too strong for me. And that's Satan, friend. Don't think because you've been in church your whole life, just as he talked about today, that you're a match for Satan. Because even Michael the archangel would not debate with Satan over the body of Moses, but rather turned him over to one who could defeat him. You're no match for Satan, friend. I don't care how long you've been in church, how many Bible verses you know, you can't go in your own strength and think you're going to defeat him. Only one can deliver you from him. Only one can help you with that, and that's Jesus. The only reason Brother Fowler was able to stand up here today is because there was a God that delivered him from that one who was devouring him. Verse 17 there, just, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me. I thought about Satan there in that verse too, because Satan hates your guts. He hates everything about you. You know why? Because you bring joy to God. A relationship, you bring joy to God. Do you know that God glories in you? He glories in you. And if Satan can hurt you, it's not about you, friend. It's about hurting God. And that's what Satan's trying to do. But you can't deliver yourself. Only God can deliver you. Same passage. Look at verse 19. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. He delivered me because he delighted in me. You think about God. He delights in you. He delights in you. He finds joy in you. How can he find joy in wicked sinners like us? He loved us so much that he just enjoys fellowshipping with you. Why was Adam created? To fellowship with God. He enjoys that. He delights in it. Look at verse 43 of the same passage. Thou hast delivered me from the striving of the people. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen, and people whom I have not known shall serve me. Look at verse 48. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Look at verse 50. Great deliverance giveth he to his king. He showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. Look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32. In verse number 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Whenever you see that word Selah, you ought to stop and look at it. Pause right here and look at that verse. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, this verse 5 of verse 32, look what he says. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto thee, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. He's talking about how God forgave him. He said, I want you to look at this. I called out to God. He heard me. He knew where I was. And in verse 7, he said, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. There's many other verses that we could turn to for sake of time. I'm not going to turn to all of them. But Psalm 34, verse 4, and Psalm 40, verse 17, and Psalm 50, verse 15, and Psalm 54, verse 7, Psalm 55, verse 18, Psalm 70, verse 1 and verse 5, Psalm 81, verse 7, Psalm 86, verse 13, Psalm 91, verse 3, Psalm 91, verse 14 and 15, Psalm 109, 21, Psalm 119, 134, 153, 154, and 170, and Psalm 144, verse 2, all talk about the deliverance of God upon his people. God delights in delivering us. When David's naming these children, he said, God, you hear me. God, I know that you know who I am, but God, You deliver me. You deliver me. Look at Romans chapter number 11. A couple more verses, then we'll tie this all together. Romans chapter number 11. God's covenant with Israel here in the book of Romans, chapter number 11. Look what it said, verse 25 and 26. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, unto the faithfulness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. He said, there's going to come a deliverer. Amen. You know what? A deliverer came one day.
Yes,
he came in a manger.
Amen.
And that little baby in a manger that looked so helpless to everybody else came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came a deliverer to deliver you and to deliver me from the destination that we were born in. That destination of sin. That destination of separation from God in hell forever. That death that we deserve was not just a physical death. It was an eternal death forever, separated in torments from God. But a deliverer came. And said, you don't have to go to that place. You don't have to go to that place called hell, because I am the deliverer and I came for one purpose, and that was to bring people to the knowledge of my Father. And I'm glad that somebody came in 1960s and led my grandfather to the Lord, knocked on the door, cared enough about his soul to give them the gospel. And not only did he get saved and my grandmother get saved, but our whole family since then has been able to trust Christ as their Savior. And what a joy it is that a deliverer came. And not only did he hear me when I asked, not only did he know exactly where I was when he found me, but he delivered me from the state that I was in and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And my life has never been the same because of that deliverer. And David, when he's naming these kids, I could imagine every time he called them by name, his mind went back to God hears. His mind went back to God knows. And every time he went back to that last one, God delivers, I could imagine him thinking how my life was almost gone. But God delivered me. And friend, if you die in your sin today, it's not because God does not want to deliver you. It's because you're not willing to receive His deliverance. And if you are saved and you're living life for you, Satan's going to bind you. He's going to wrap you up to where you can't move. You'll be holding by the cords of your unrighteousness. But there's one who holds the key. And that's God, that deliverer who wants to set you free. The Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What is the truth? Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Friend, what that's telling me is the only way that you can be delivered from any kind of sin, any kind of heartache, any kind of misery is to come to Jesus, who is the deliverer. And He'll be glad to set you free. He'll be glad to set you free. You don't have to walk around bound. You don't have to walk around defeated. You don't have to walk around discouraged. Let us learn from these names as we go through here that God does hear you, friend. God knows exactly where you're at, and God's willing to deliver you. You just got to come to Him. Last verse I want to read, 1 Thessalonians, if you'll turn there, please. First Thessalonians, chapter number 1, verse 9 and 10. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we would had unto you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Why can you rejoice in being a Christian today, a child of the King? Because you're delivered from the wrath to come. You ought to rejoice in that. That ought to make you excited. That wrath that God, a holy God, has to pronounce upon sin, you're delivered from. Because you trusted Him as your Savior. But maybe you're here today and you're not a child of the King. And you're wondering, does God hear me? Does God know? Learn from the testimony of others. God does hear. God does know. Friend, He wants to deliver you. All you have to do is come to Him. Amen. And he that cometh unto me, He said, I'll in no wise cast him out. He'll take you just like you are. Don't worry about trying to get good enough to come to God. Because you can't be good enough to come to God.
Right.
You come to God and let Him make goodness out of you. God's the one that changes you. This book is the one that changes you. He says, our righteousness is as filthy rags unto the Lord. You can't wait till you're good enough because you'll never be good enough.
Yeah, that's right.
And Satan just says, oh, just wait till you get better. God doesn't want somebody like you. Listen, you are why He died.
Yeah, exactly.
You are why He came.
Yes, sir.
You are why He did what He did is because He loves you and He wants to deliver you. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking.